Yes. Welcome to the podcast. That way before what we were doing the podcast, I was angry. But welcome to podcast 111. Yes, indeed, 111. It's kind of special for me. Podcast 111. This podcast is about innovation. Innovation in the games, because I think some games are lacking them. And, well, we get innovation, then some people be like, that's not innovation, or how we call it. But we gonna jump right into the topic, yes indeed. Before we even start, we gotta get in with our co-hosts. We gotta get in with our members, yes indeed. So we have me, of course, Dark Boo. Can't forget about me. We have Spider Star You.
Hey, Juice Betties.
We have Toadette.
I'm on a quest for a shiny clauncher.
And we have Soli.
I'm in macarons.
So we just got into with our basic introduction, so we're going to jump right into the topic. This topic is brought to you by, once again, because we all watch him, Game Theory. We all watch the YouTube. We all watch it. And this topic was thought about because of him. And he gave some enlightened details of the questions that we're going to answer. So we're going to congratulate him yet again. We're going to post his YouTube account and stuff at the end, because right now I don't remember. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. So bad.
Yeah, I said I love you. I said I love you. So we're just going to jump into the questions. The question correlate with a video that got over a million views. Oh, Jesus. It got over a million views, and its title, Are the Gamers Killing Video Games? That's what it's titled. And it talks about innovation. It's talking about how people want innovation. When they get innovation, they're quite pissed off. And then when they get these repetitious cycles, with these games having series upon series upon series, those still make more money than the other games, although some people classify them as lacking innovation. But we want to jump right into that, because we got a lot of games like that. And we got games that split off the branch. We got Mario Parties, and then when you get to 8 to 9, they split off the branch. We got Resident Evil, when it gets to 4 to 5, it split off the branch. We have so many games like that, so we're going to jump right into it. So the discussion questions are as follows. Number one, what type of games do you want to see be made and why? See being made and why? And basically, this question, it asks for itself. What games you want to see and why? There got to be a reason for a game you want to see. So we start with you.
Well, I personally, since I'm more of the... I'm really bad at platformers. Like, I only can do simple ones, so I wouldn't say I want more platformers. I like racing games, but I don't like anything that's super, just like a car, Mario Kart, and what's it called, that game from the PS3 that nobody actually liked, like Mod Nation Racers. I kind of like that game. I like racing games, but I want creative ones. And why? Because I'm not good at the harder other series. I'm not good at first person shooters that much, and I'm okay with puzzle games, but I'm pretty good at racing games, so I'd be happy with a new creative racing game.
And that's it?
Yeah.
What's your reason?
My reasoning is I'm not really all that good at any other games, so...
Oh, no, that's kind of a bad reason.
You know, I couldn't think of anything else, and I still want more racing games, so it's good enough for me.
You're saying you're good at racing games?
I'm reasonably good at racing games, mind you. Maybe
he's trying to say he's better at racing games than he is in any other game.
Yeah.
Which must mean he really sucks at other games.
I do. I'm terrible. I was trying to play Mega Man X, like, early in the week. I couldn't get past the first level. I was done. I was like, how do I play this?
So the reason is because he's bad at games. Yes. He's bad at any other games. Oh, poor soul. So I'm next, so I'm going to think of some games. People are going to be like, that game is already created or something around there. But so now it's my turn to answer the question. Finally. I might have been joking with finally. You won't have to hear the bloopers to understand why. But the game that I want to be made, a lot of people said the game was already created. I think it was poorly done. So, of course, I like Perfect Dark, but my thing is that I don't want it to be like Perfect Dark. It could have some 3D aspects, but every shooting game that I see, it looks like Call of Duty. It looks like Call of Duty, or it looked like it took in a piece of Call of Duty. That's what the video said as well. Every shooting game I know, it looks like Call of Duty now. From Resident Evil, Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark Zero was horrible compared to Perfect Dark 64. Because people never said it lacked innovation. They just said it looks like Call of Duty. So every game I can name, it looks like Call of Duty. And I hate Call of Duty. I can't stand it. I still got Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I have Black Ops 1 and 2. And I don't play them. I have one for the Wii. It lags, so I don't play it. I shoot people in the head, it don't work. So I would like games like that to come out. And my reason behind is that nothing was clearly wrong with them games. Except, well, only thing they need is modernization of graphics. But I think Perfect Dark Zero has Perfect Dark 64 for Xbox for Live. So I think that we kind of have that already done. But I want a game that's not like Call of Duty, because people get tired of Call of Duty. They get tired of having to play a game that looks like Call of Duty. GoldenEye 007 for the Wii is a Call of Duty reincarnation. So my thing is that make a shooting game that's not like Call of Duty, and I'd be happy. And even with Mario games, my thing is that it's innovation, but the thing is that Every time they do good, it's bad. Every time they do good, there is a bad. And
prime example being Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Yes, every time they do something
exactly
good, it's bad. It's like 9.9 times out of 10, there's something bad.
If I can add, Sticker Star is also one of those unfortunate victims to good concept, bad execution. Because, in early trailers, I thought the sticker concept is pretty cool. I mean, when I'm watching videos of it, it still is pretty cool. But, you know, you don't even really get to use in the sense you don't have to fight enemies.
And that's the thing. You have good innovation, but bad execution will make people think that this game, some people don't say it's like innovation. They just say it's poorly handled. We got games that have good innovation, and then they just, like, are you serious? Like, how are you trying to manage something good doing it so poorly? But that's the reason why, because we just get tired of saying things being used over and over and over. Now, somebody story you?
What type of games do I want to be made and why? This is kind of a hard question, because it's kind of hard to, like, say exactly what I want in a game. I mean, if you just want a general answer, I can give you a general answer. I could say, you know, I like a party game like Mario Party with less luck. I like, I would like a Mario football game. I think that would be awesome. There's so many types of games that I would want to see, so it's kind of hard to say exactly what I want.
American football for our confused European viewers, not soccer.
Oh, yeah, sorry, American football, sorry.
The hand egg.
Yeah, it's funny that we bring up Paper Mario Sticker Star, but not talking about that. But like Paper Mario, look at the first two things of the series. Like, see how like original and creative it is. And then look at like what it said. Like Sticker Star had an amazing concept, but it's not executed right. I feel like innovation is cool. I'm for it. Don't get me wrong. I am definitely for it, but it has to be executed right. And I don't feel like innovation is the problem. All right, we should see more innovation. That's what creates new genres, new stuff. That's what creates new things. It's just we need to be, I'm not making games, but still, I'm still going to use that term. We need to be smarter on how we execute stuff, because sometimes these good ideas are just not executed in the right series or just not in the right type of game. But I am definitely for innovation and all that stuff. So, yeah, that ends my little comment.
Toadette?
I'm gonna stay on the Mario tangent, and I kinda want more games. I mean, I guess, you know, this doesn't have to just be Mario, but I'm using Mario as my example. I would want more games that focus on, like, less popular characters. Like, you know, like, a couple years ago, you might remember they made Super Princess Peach. And, that game was pretty fun. I mean, the video, the Game Theory video, you know, uses Yoshi's Island as an example that, you know, despite getting praised for its, you know, it's a Mario game that isn't Mario, it didn't sell that well. I still think, you know, it's a pretty neat idea to have more games that don't focus on the main characters. Like, you know, obviously, you know, Mario can make a cameo appearance because, you know, he's still the star of the show. He's the number one guy. He's, you know, Nintendo's all-star, but, you know, for a while, I've kind of been hoping for, like, a Toad game, you know? Just, you know, maybe a little fun game starring him. I mean, like, there's Wario's Woods, yeah, but that's it. That's just Wario's Woods was the first and last game to have Toad as the main character, and it was a puzzle game. A very fun puzzle game, I'll admit, but, you know, I kind of want a little, you know, a little Toad adventure, you know? Where's my year of Toad, you know? I feel like it'd be a cool idea if there were more games about the lesser known characters. You know, not entirely unknown that, you know, if you saw this game in the story, you'd be like, who the heck is this? Because I think Toad is a perfect example for this, because most kids, you know, could probably recognize that it's Toad from his little, like, you know, mushroom cap and his little cute face. Because, I mean, that was the problem with Wario's Woods. They called it Wario's Woods instead of Toad's Woods because, you know, more people knew about Wario than Toad. And, you know, if they heard Toad, you know, they might think Toad, like the frog or something like that. But now, you know, it's been about 25 years since our little 25 plus years since our little friend's been in the series. I'm pretty sure most kids could recognize Toad. Like, you know, I walk around in the city occasionally with, like, a Toad shirt or, like, you know, a little Toad doll perched upon my shoulder, you know, and I see, like, lots of kids, you know, like, look, Mommy, it's Toad! Oh, look, she's got a Toad! So, you know, I think now's a great time to make a game starring Toad because, you know, at this point, he's recognizable. He's a main character, pretty much. And, you know, it's about damn time he gets a little more respect in the series. Even though in Japan he's not considered an actual character, he's just a Toad rather than the Toad. You know, that's the difference between North America and Japan. You know, North America, we have the Toad, and Japan's always a Toad. It's not always the same Toad. It's just, you know, some Toad. But North America, mostly because of the Mario cartoons, portrayed Toad as being one Toad, like, and then all the other Toads are other Toads. Like, it's like Yoshi and the other Yoshis. Like, you know, there's always that one Yoshi that we see as Yoshi, and then everyone else is just Yoshis. Just like, and so it's just like with Toad, you know, we see the one with red spots and blue vest as, oh, hey, that's the Toad. And if you saw one that's with red spots and a red vest, it'd be, oh, that's a Toad. So, you know, I don't know, I'm probably just, you know, being a little too fangirly right here, but, you know, I'd love a Toad game. I think it's about time this guy gets his respect due.
Okay, I understand you just said a different character instead of Mario this, Mario that. It gets repetitious at times, and then
I have no problem against Mario, or Luigi, or any of that, you know, I like them. It's just that, you know, they tried it before with characters like Peach and Yoshi and even Bowser somewhat in Bowser's Inside Story. And, you know, all those games, people, even though they didn't sell as well as your average Super Mario Brothers, you know, 2D side-scroller, you know, a lot of people liked it because, oh, hey, it feels a lot different not playing as Mario for a change.
Yes, that pretty much summed it up, this not play as Mario. Like 3D World.
Yeah. Oh, and the next, even 3D World felt different. Like, it was the same game with every character, but, you know, they went that little extra mile and made them all a little bit different from each other. So, you know, if they went a little more off that route, like, you know, if you compared Super Princess Peach to a Super Mario Bros. Game, you know, it's kind of the same aspect, you know, 2D platformer adventure, but the controls and, like, how each character, like, collect stuff and, you know, fight stuff and whatnot are completely different. And, you know, that simple little change, you could say the same about Yoshi's Island, too. Oh, and Wario Land's another great example. you know, they're all 2D platformers, but they all feel so different because each character has their own method of fighting and their own method of, like, collecting and just general, you know, how they go around the world.
Going off of innovation, though, I didn't like, personally, Wario Land Shake It. And was I the only one who didn't like that game?
I love the art style in it, but the controls were kind of weird.
Like, I think it was an interesting idea, like, but it's just, to me, it didn't... I like a game that's kind of like Wario Land 4, or Wario Land 3, like, but for this game just... It felt too easy to me. It felt way too easy. I'm like, this isn't, like, Wario Land. I don't know, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm proving the point that some people don't want innovation, but, you know, innovation sometimes is good, innovation sometimes maybe is not... doesn't work.
It's a double-edged sword, you know, sometimes it can really help you, but other times it just really backfires on you. There's no way in telling it. It's just, like, you gotta take risks.
Yeah. Everything Toadette said is right. I agree.
I'm always right.
So, to lead to the next question is worded so badly, so I'm making it real simple. Do you think that the gaming style and innovation for a series of games, do you think they are consecutive and at times be reused too much, as in, like, some Mario games, Mario Party, and then all them new Super Mario games.
Oh, new Super Mario Brothers. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, like, Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, and Resident Evil, and all them other games. Do you think that the same style is being reused constantly, and just that, because that's pretty much what the question asks. Do you think they use the same concept over and over and over again? And you can add if you think it's a good thing, a bad thing. So?
Well, yeah. I mean, you brought up a really good point in the last question. You were mentioning how first-person shooters nowadays are pretty much the same thing. And unfortunately, they are, as with a lot of other, like, first-person games, not even shooters. I mean, if you look at two games... Infamous and The Last of Us. Both of them work very similarly, but both of them have gotten really good recollections, and I think both of them are really good games, so I don't know if it's always a bad thing. If you can change it well enough, it's not a bad thing, but more often than not, I don't see it turning out too well to have a similar style to a game.
If for me, if it's in a series, most likely it's going to use the same concept. Only way I can say it when it branches out is modernization. That's the thing that branches each game out. As in, let me use something that I know. Resident Evil, we have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. When you got the 5, that's where everything started looking like Call of Duty. When you got the 5 and 6, that's where everything started looking like Call of Duty. 5 wasn't even scary. That's the thing. Resident Evil games supposed to be scary, supposed to make you jump out your skin. Good Lord, no, I was going to cuss that part. But it's supposed to make you jump out your skin. Resident Evil 5 did not do the job for me. It did not make me scared. It was more of a action. It was more of action, and Resident Evil was never an action game. And that's the thing that innovation, they executed wrong. And I really think that they executed some... I don't think they executed... executed some new innovation. They took it from a game, Call of Duty. they took it from a game. Therefore, I don't think they executed that right. That was not innovation. That was modernization. And that's a big difference. Modernization and innovation are two different things. Modernization is to be... I don't want to say it in French. But it's to make it... Oh, but I was going to use that word for some reason. But, because it's a phrase in French that I use. But it's to be present day. And people today think that Call of Duty is present game. I mean, not present game, present day.
Modern, you mean?
Yeah. To make it more modern, make it more of this year. And innovation is to bring out something new.
Current.
And to bring it to the table. Yeah. Just basically to make it concurrent with
other
games.
What's in, what's hip.
Exactly. So my thing is that with Resident Evil, the moment it got the 5, my thing is that Resident Evil, like I said, never had action as a genre. People, like Spider-Star, you said new genres for the game. My thing is that Resident Evil never had a genre action until it got the 5. That I think it was placed in action. I think it was really placed in under action category when it was never... It was always a, not a platform, not, is it, yeah, it was a 3D platformer, and it was horror. It was a bit of action for some, but it was always classified as horror. So therefore, I didn't like things like that. And so that thing is, and like with Mario Party, when you got to 9, when you got to Mario Party 9, woo, that's where everything took off. That was innovation. that was innovation. Poorly executed. Innovation that was executed right with other bad things. And that's the difference between modernization and innovation. Resident Evil had modernization. Mario Party had innovation. And that's a good thing. Good job, Nintendo. So I do think they reuse it, but since they come into like 2014 and 15, they are basically modernizing. Not innovating, modernizing. Making it look more like this. GoldenEye, you're a prime example too. I can name so many examples, so I don't want to get into all that. Spider-Star, you?
Oh my god. Do I think it's not being repeated? Yeah. Look at games like New Super Mario Brothers. Like, I think some games need innovation, and some games don't, all right? Look at the New Super Mario Bros. Series. That's a series that needs innovation. Come on. It's the same thing over and over and over again. The exact same thing. But, hey, it still sells, I guess. So maybe you don't need innovation. But that's something that I feel like needs some type of, like, spark to make it more interesting. Because it's like, played out at this point. Really, it's played out. Like, okay, like, get the three red coins. No, not coins. What do you call them? Star coins. You get the star coins. Oh, you complete the level. Oh, you, yeah, woohoo. Go on to the next one. Rescue Peach. And it's boring.
On the topic of that,
I've always wanted, like, the mission system from Mario Galaxy and New Super Mario Brothers, but that's just me.
Like, when they first released the New Super Mario Bros. For the DS, it felt so fresh. It felt so juicy and ostentatiously bodacious.
So fresh you could breathe it in.
Yes, because it was something new. And, like, you know, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, that was a good game. All right, it had multiplayer. All right, it was kind of the same thing still, yeah, but it had multiplayer, so it was kind of different. Then New Super Mario Bros. 2 comes in, exact same thing. New Super Mario Bros. U comes in, exact same thing, with little minor differences, like power-up differences. It's
you
still
do
the
have
same
to
thing.
Give, sorry to interrupt, but I was going to add this when it was my turn, but I was going to say, you have to give New Super Mario Bros. U some credit, because they at least tried to change up a little bit of things, like the overall stage design, and like overall it's the same thing, but I mean they at least fixed a lot of stuff that the others didn't have. Like New Super Mario Bros. 2 felt exactly like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, just without the Toads and with more money. Like you turn the Toads into money. They turned into money. But you at least felt a little bit different, and like even when it comes to the whole giant Bowser thing, they at least made his battle a little more unique this time by making it like, you could fight Bowser Jr. too, and, you know, instead of, running away from him, you actually, get to fight the big guy himself. But, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I do agree. New Super Mario Bros. You did add some new things, but still, it is basically the overall same thing. You know, and what other examples can I use? Because, like, from what I'm saying, I just want to make clear that there are some games that, you know, need innovation. It's not just Mario. I'm using Mario as an example so much, but that's because it's what I know. All right, there's so many other games out there that you guys can fit into this. Like, and you can comment in the comments below and say stuff about. But, like, for, like, look at, like what I said about Paper Mario. Like, that's something that doesn't really need that type of innovation to change it so drastically where it's not the same thing anymore. All right? There's innovation to make something new, and then there's just changing a whole damn thing completely and just not even making it the same game anymore. All right? If you're going to do that, at least call it something else. Don't call it Paper Mario. Or if you're going to make, Like, for some things, don't need innovation. Like, what if they made, like, a Mario Kart and they innovated it so much where it's not even racing anymore? Like, it's like you, like, swimming and you have to get out of your cart and swim at a certain point. Wouldn't that be like what? Like you like when
that, like uh-oh, I gotta go swim. Like Mario like rips off his overalls and he has like a it's like a speedo and like a hairy chest. He's like, let's a go.
It's not Mario Triathlon. Ugh, I would die if
it's
that
like
happened.
Luigi in the referee outfit. You know, he blows the whistle.
That would be... Oh, my God. But you guys see? Like, that would be like, what? That's how I felt with that with like, Sticker Star, for an example. I don't know. Like I said, innovation is good sometimes. I want to make it clear. Like, it is good in some cases. And it's good to try some new things. But if it's going to be completely different... We're not talking about differences here and there. And we're not talking... New Super Mario Bros. Is different either, where it's just, like, really, really small differences. We're talking about, you know, some different patches that are different here and there, but it's still, like, the overall same thing. But we're not talking about, like, changing things completely overall, and that you might as well just name it something else. That's how I feel. All right? Change is good, but when you're going to change something over in time, you can't change it completely at once. At least change it a little bit over time. Like, if for Sticker Star, if they wanted to do that sometime in the future, they could have at least, like, just started with the sticker concept, kept everything the same, kept a story and stuff. But no, they just changed everything. It's ridiculous.
I see what you mean. You're talking about the outrageous changes.
Yeah.
The changes that are like... What? That's what it leaves you like that one, like, what?
You're like, that was that game before? That this can't be the same series, because it's completely different. And then there's some, like I said, there's some games that just don't change, like New Super Mario Bros. That's, like, basically the same thing over every single damn time. There needs to be some type of balance. I feel there can be some type of balance. There has to be.
Exactly. It has to be something. It has to be something. It can't be nothing, because everything's possible, not impossible, unless you're trying to do some outrageous things. Toadette?
Toadette!
My mic was muted. I was starting off really good. I'm like, man, I'm a dumbass. Anyways, I feel like there's like this idea of a spectrum I'm getting from this. And it's like, you know, there's like two sides of the spectrum. You know, it's like, don't innovate at all or innovate everything. Like, you know, like, I think the idea that the Game Theory video was giving out is that there's a correlation between how much a game sells based on how much it innovates. And there's like this idea where it's like, the more you innovate, like, the more different you make, the riskier it gets. And like, sometimes it works really well. But I can't think of a game off the top of my head. What's a game that, like, was completely different from the last version of the game, but was really good? Can you guys think of one? It doesn't have
Zelda
to be...
Zelda 2.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, what? It doesn't have to be a Mario game, but just an idea in general. I guess maybe Super Mario Bros. 2? I don't know. I don't really know if that game sold well, but... I just, in general, some games that completely change up everything do really good, but most of the time, like Star, you said, just makes, in the case of Sticker Star, it's just like, what? Is it, what? It just, it feels like a different game entirely. Like, this is gonna sound weird, but I kinda used this example back when I, played Pokemon Black and White, and it wasn't about the game itself, But the Pokemon, and more specifically this one line, the Oshawott line, like, this was a line that I thought was really good until it came up to Samurott. And the problem I had with Samurott is that it looked too different from its other forms. Like, obviously there are a lot of... You can use Pokemon as an example of this. Some Pokemon with really drastic changes come out really, you know, nice, like Magikarp and Phoebus, like... Gyarados and Milotic look pretty awesome. They're pretty good, too. But then there are other Pokemon where they change too much, and it just feels weird. Like Samurott. Like, you know, it looks like it's a different Pokemon entirely. You can say the same about games. Like, some games, they change a lot, and it's good. Other games, they change a lot, and it's bad. And other games, like, you know, it's hard to tell what, like, the safe zone for this is, and I think that's what a lot of gaming companies are trying to find. Like, you know, how much can we change our game so it still feels like a X series game, but not too different? And then, you know, it's all like a matter of opinion, because some games, they don't change at all. Other games, they change a little bit, and then some games, they change too much. And it depends on the series. Like, how much change is good? How much change is bad? You know, New Super Mario Bros. U was, you know, different from the other New Super Mario Bros. Because, you know, not just in power-ups, but also in, like, level design. It had that, like, those, like, extra modes where you could do challenges and whatnot. And there was also, like, the New Super Luigi U DLC, which is, you know, kind of like, it felt a little bit like a breath of fresh air, but it was, overall, it was still the same. So it's an example of a game that's overall the same, but did change a bit. And then, going back to Sticker Star, you know, there's games that just change too much, and it doesn't feel right. So, you know, the big problem here is that nobody knows how much change they should give to their game. So, you know, people will like it, but they won't complain that, oh, it's exactly the same like the last one! Or they will complain, it's like, it's nothing like the last one! You know, it's like people are never happy, because there's always that one guy that complains it's too different, and then there's that one guy that complains it's not different enough. And a lot of times, these two guys will be complaining about the same game.
I think Toadette done answered three already.
I just had to bring it out there.
Power rant.
Yes, and she answered question three, so
you can just skip. You can skip me for that question. Then I already answered it. I'll just restate what I said or something.
But everything she said was exactly right. There are people like that. There are two sides of a spectrum. It's really hard to please everyone. I'm even like hearing how I'm sounding through this, and I'm sounding hard to please right now. So it's just really hard to please everyone. So it's really hard to be in a game designer's position to feel like how much is necessary to change. How should we keep it the same? Or if it's the same, are people going to complain? It's like nothing is ever completely good. Alright, you have to try to please the majority, but even then, you can, like, please the majority, but then a bunch of people will be like, oh no, this sucks.
You gotta, this is when you gotta take, like, a leap of faith and decide, you know, well, which people do we want to please more? Like, the guys who want it to be different, or the guys who want it to be the same? We gotta, you know, you gotta let one of them go, because it's really hard to make a game that fits both of their requirements.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you have too many... There's like a scale. The scale never balanced.
Oh, it's never balanced.
So the third question, do you think that gamers say they want one thing, and when that one thing comes out, they can be like, oh, they don't like it, but they said something wrong with it?
Yes.
So
I believe the question was, do you think gamers are ever satisfied?
Basically, that's what it is.
No, they're never satisfied. Move on. Never. Yes.
I don't think we need to have a deep conversation about this. We can agree that even, like, the chilled back, relaxed guys who, you know, aren't really, like those people who aren't really bothered that, you know, the new Super Mario Bros. Games are pretty much the same, you know, even they, you know, get, like, antsy about stuff, because it's all about opinion. This isn't just video games. This is life in general. You can't please everybody. Not everybody's gonna please you. It's really hard to do that and acquire something that will make everybody happy. Because it's always that one guy that's like, I don't like this. And sometimes that one guy is like two guys, or three guys, or like 100 guys. And then when you try to please them, then you make all the other guys upset, and then you're like, well, which guy should I make happy? I just want people to like my game.
Gamers are some of the most hardest people to satisfy. Like,
we're little babies.
I've always wanted to be a game designer, but, like, as I'm getting older and just growing up in a community, and it's a good community, don't get me wrong, but, like, just seeing the way some people are, it's like, wow, why would I want to create a game if I'm just going to get that? Oh, this game sucks. You know, it shouldn't have had this, and that. Your game sucks. You shouldn't buy this game. It's a fail. Who wants to buy this crap? It sucks. And it's like, why would I want to create a game if I'm just going to get that type of response? I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, and like what I said, it's not just games, too, because, like, I know when I grow up, I want to get to the graphic novels industry, maybe even the animation industry, you know, make my own drawings and cartoons and whatnot. And I know, you know, a lot of people probably aren't gonna like my art style. A lot of people probably aren't gonna like my jokes. A lot of people are probably gonna think, like, what the hell is this crap? You know, and then there are other people who will be like, oh my gosh, the best thing ever! But you don't know who those people are gonna be until you take that chance and put yourself out there. So, you know, the world is a cruel place, and you never know what's gonna happen. You never know what people are gonna say until you do it.
Everything's just a giant risk.
You gotta grow.
It's like economics.
You gotta grow some courage in you. Don't grow a pair of balls. Don't do any of that. Just grow courage inside of you. You just gotta go with it. You know, if people don't like it, well, you know, they don't like it. You know, if you try to change it, maybe they will like it, but then there'll be other people who don't like it. So, you know, you can't expect everybody to like you or your stuff. That's a life lesson from Toadette. You can put that in your yearbooks and whatnot, kids. Just, you know, you can't expect everybody to like who you are, what you want to do, what your choices are, and what you present to the world.
Always have courage and have faith in yourself and stay juicy. All right, guys, that's the end of the pie. No.
Because we done answered 3, 4, 5.
We're just power tackling. Wait, like, bam, bam, bam.
We should at least let Soul get a word in. I don't even say anything.
I don't have much to say because you guys are just yakking away, and I agree with everything. It's just, I don't have much to say on
this
topic.
This is my fault. When I get into a topic like this, I just want to, like, pour. I'm a big kettle of true tea, and I want to pour myself out all over. Not even these little cups. I want to pour myself in, like, a huge-ass coffee mug.
Oh, yes. Gotta pour the true tea. Gotta pour the juice. Get those jugs.
My kettle's blowing. It's all like...
Uh-oh, now. So,
get the tea bags.
Yes, get the tea bags, get the sugar, get the cream.
Ew, don't bag me.
Oh, God.
So, to sum up the questions, I do agree. There'll always be that one person. You can't please everybody. It's the truth. It's rare cases where you can do so, but always that one person. It's the one person who complain about, oh, they want something new. When they get it new, they complain about that new. Some people are never happy. Some people are put in this world and they are never happy. And it's rude for me to say it, because that's not true for every people. That's why every person. That's why, like, unfortunately, there's a big population of people who are just put in this world and are never happy, never pleased.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I mentioned something about this before. I said before, like, when you play games, why do we always look at the bad first? Like, even me, I notice I do that sometimes, all right? I'm not just clocking the tea on everyone, I'm clocking on myself as well. When we play games, why do we always look for the bad first? Why don't we look for what's good about a game? Why don't we look for what do we enjoy about it? All right, we always these game reviewers and even other people in, like, other industries, like the movie industry, we always look for the flaws. We always look for the flaws first and not look for what do we enjoy, what do we love about it. And I feel like we should start looking for what's good. There's nothing wrong with looking at bad, saying that, okay, this was not good. But why do we got to start with it? Why start off negative? Everything can't be negative, guys. I know we're living in some hard times, but everything can't be negative. We got to be positive sometimes. Even if we don't feel positive, we have to be positive.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, pleasing everybody was easy back in, like, you know... 10,000 BC when there's, like, you know, like, probably, like, only 1,000 people on the earth, but not today.
Probably done answered every question. 6, Spider Star, you already went into 6, the constructive criticism of the reviews, and that he took my answer. Which I was going to say they look for the bad. they look for the bad, or they annotate the bad. They put it in big old bold words and such.
Yeah, they look for it. They don't ignore all the good stuff, and they just, like, they say, okay, let me see what's bad about this game. Let me see where can I find a flaw? Where can I find a glitch? Where can I find something that's not right? And that's all they look for.
It's like in a movie, like a 90s movie, where you'd be like, like, oh, this background character has yellow fur! Look, in the next scene he has purple fur!
Exactly.
1 out of 0,
means
500 million, worst movie ever.
Well, I'm gonna be honest, if I saw that, I would definitely notice it. I'm not saying, oh gosh, I would judge it just because of that.
Yeah, it's something that you might notice,
but,
like, you know, it's nothing to get your panties in a bunch over, you know? People oversee things all the time, you know? There's in games and movies and whatnot, there's a difference between, like, a small error and then a huge glitch. Like, imagine if, like, you know, there's, like, glitches in Mario where, you know, like, oh, if you hop over this thing, like, 7 times and then do a backflip, you go really high into the air. But then that's different than saying, oh, if Mario jumps over here, you can skip the whole level. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know, when you see crazy glitches like that, like, you know, somebody took their time to find this. This isn't something that you can
exactly,
just encounter in
the
game.
That's the case. They had to sit down and think about it. That's what most glitches are. They sit down and think. Because there's no obvious glitch. That's my thing. There's some such thing as obvious glitches as in the everyday gamer can do. And then there are some glitches, like in the Wind Waker, there are glitches that are ridiculous in the game. But it's not like somebody actually sit there and thought about the glitches. I'm like, it's not like it came out of nowhere. Some people sit down there and thought about it. So, we should go to the last question. Did anybody got something to say about constructive criticism?
For me, I think construction criticism... I didn't get to answer it. Personally, a lot of people want to say, I know, but in some cases, if it's a good review, they can summarize the actual gameplay well enough, but it doesn't summarize the experience, if you will. I can summarize my experience, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to have the same amount of fun when playing a game, or if it were a bad review, negativity. And I think Boo said it basically. Some people can be a bit too negative on the game, and if they don't like the game even for a bit, they'll just start trying to find more and more and basically snowball into a bad review. And when it's not always the case, there are games that are pretty much flops, like Star Fox Adventures or something, but that's not to say everybody's going to have a bad experience with it, and so a review shouldn't summarize the actual gameplay, no matter what type of review. But that's really all I have to share on that.
Yeah, and, like, if you make a review for the game, you know, there's nothing wrong about pointing, you know, oh, I like this part, but I found this part was pretty subpar or something. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I like the gameplay, but, you know, like, the music was I didn't like the music, or, you know, the bosses were lackluster and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong about, you know, pointing at what you think is wrong with it, or what you don't like about the game. But, you know, you can give them your fancy schmancy 100% review on, you know, Metacritic or whatnot, or, you know, IGN, blah, 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 any of those websites. But, you know, the truth is there's no perfect game. And, you know, what we see as the perfect game is different to every person because everyone has their own gaming taste, even if they all fit in the same genre of, like, casual, hardcore, fighting, you know, racing, you know, whatnot. Every person has a different idea of what their favorite game or what their perfect game looks like. And even then, when you have a game that you think is perfect, you're a little biased towards it because, you know, there's nothing wrong about that. But, you know, what happens a lot of times is that people often, you know, if they really don't like a game, then they will just, like, point out every single thing that's wrong. And that goes back to how, like, you know, finding even the smallest stuff that a normal person playing the game wouldn't be able to find. Like, if you honestly want to leave a bad review or just point out stuff that you don't like, it should be something that should be noticeable to every person, you know? It's not something like, oh, I don't like how in Bowser's level the bricks are gray instead of black. You can't do something like that, you know? A good, legitimate way of pointing out something you didn't like is like, oh, I didn't like Yoshi's New Island because I thought the bosses were pretty boring, or, you know, I didn't like the music. Or I didn't like New Super Mario Bros. 2 because the music felt exactly the same as the last one. You know, that's nothing wrong with that, but you can't point out, you can't dislike a game for before like the tiniest thing. Like even like especially if you've never played that game. That's a problem. And when you see these reviews, you know, people often get turned away by the game because, you know, they take reviews a little too close to them. They're like, oh, yeah. this guy said it was bad because Mario jumps like an inch higher than he normally does. I don't really want to play it anymore. And trust me, that's happened to me a lot of times when looking at games. And, you know, even having games I already have, I'm looking at the reviews of them. You know, I'm like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. You're just being a whiny baby. So, like, I don't know, I'm probably just talking too much about this, but what I'm just trying to say is, like, it's okay to dislike a game. It's okay to like a game. It's okay to, like, you know, hate a game. But, you know, you gotta have a legitimate reason for hating or liking the game. Not something really, you know, it can't be something that a normal gamer, any gamer, would not notice. Like, you know, like technical little tiny tidbits. You can't dislike a game just for this one tiny detail that, like, probably someone else wouldn't even notice, you know, even if they played the game, you know, more than once.
Yeah, that's like saying I don't like Tetris because there's no blue-colored block. That doesn't make sense. But one thing that I want to make clear is that I think gamers, people need to make clear is that just because someone dislikes a game doesn't mean that you'll dislike a game. I always say that people on IGN, no offense to IGN, I'm not slamming nobody. All right, but people who make these reviews, just because they say a game is bad doesn't mean it necessarily is bad. All right? Their opinion is no better than your opinion.
That is
all right?
The whole point. Sorry to interrupt, but that is the whole point of review. It's showing their opinion on it, not the overall experience of the game. If someone says the game is bad, that means they didn't like the game. Not you don't like the game, or the game itself is bad. It could be bad, I don't know. But, you know, you can't automatically assume a game is automatically bad just because one guy said they didn't like it. That just means they don't like it. Who knows? You might like it. It goes back to how, you know, we can never please anybody, because there's always that one guy that doesn't like it, and there's one guy who loves it more than life itself.
Exactly.
That's the same way as in the reviewers, when they play the game, you be like, you don't know if you like... No, when they review a game, they don't like it. You don't know if you don't like it, because you didn't try it. They played it. You haven't, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah, I can't stand people say they dislike a game, and then I ask them, okay, did you play the game? They're like, no, I saw the game. I'm like, then how do you know it's bad if you never played it? I mean, sometimes you may think that you may not like something, but you don't know for sure because you've never played it. And especially it's bad if you're going off of someone's opinion, not your own opinion. Not, okay, well, I might like this. No, you're going off of, well, this person said this game sucks and it's bad. But it automatically goes to an opinion when someone says something is good or if they say it's bad. That automatically is no longer an experience of the game. It's an opinion of the game. Just saying.
Exactly.
Of course, I could still just, like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I could still look at a game and be like, or, like, watch somebody play a game and be like, the game doesn't look too interested to me, so I'm not going to buy it. But it's not to say that the game is a bad game, of course. It's just, like, if I look at something and I don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah, you can say if you see a game and be like, well, this doesn't match my taste. I don't want to try it. That's fine, but you can't say the game is bad. You can't say this game is bad.
I'm talking more about written reviews, anyways. Written reviews are like a huge victim of stuff like that, because you know a lot of times visual stuff will throw you off, and you know it could make you not like the game, but you know even if you don't like a game, like what Star you said, that doesn't mean it's bad, you know. There are tons of games that are bad, you know. A lot of people would say it's bad, like, you know, like the Atari ET. That game was horrible. Even people who never played it could say it was horrible, because everyone knows it was horrible. But you can't do that for every game, especially games nowadays where we have, like, you know, future technology power to avoid really exploitable glitches and whatnot.
Yeah, what I meant by what I said was that I meant, like, you know, I went off on a tangent, but what I meant was that, like, if someone sees a review and the person says it's bad, then the person watching a view thinks, okay, this game's bad then. That's what I meant.
So now that leads to our last question.
Last question. We went on.
Oh, you know, we answered, we literally combined 3, 4, 5, 6. We literally combined them questions into one whole discussion.
Hey, we actually made a lot of great points.
Yes, we have. And that's a good thing. It's not, it wasn't like we were talking about not a crap. We was on topic. No, we was always on topic, so therefore people don't be like, oh, we weren't on topic, or we were. Yes, indeed. We. So the last question. What new idea or anything will you want to be implemented in games that basically that same implementation. I can't even explain myself. That implement is new. Basically, a new idea in a game that's never been seen before.
For the first question, we said, "What do you want to see in a game what do you want to be seen made?"
I was talking about something. Some idea that is new. I'm talking about a new idea. Something that is new and not something that's used already. Just something new.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say what I want my new idea to be because someone might steal it. So I'm going to keep my ideas to myself.
So, me, I don't know because there's a lot of things that we have not seen. And then there's some things that we swear we haven't seen. And as you know, it was in some games. So the question is so hard. So, I don't know. Basically, I want to see a game that everybody can agree is good.
Is that even possible?
No. Exactly.
Boo, what was the whole point of me saying that you can't please everybody? I spent like 10 minutes talking about that. Now my throat really hurts.
Oh, God.
I want to see if that can actually happen. That everybody. No, I know I think it's non-realistic, but I don't know. Who knows what might happen? It may be Nintendo.
There will always be one person saying that the game is bad.
I think they'll purposely say that because they don't like some people don't like Sony. We got old people who like old people like me who like old games and everything new that comes out, they kind of give a little for. There's some new people who like new games, but if something implemented from an old game, they like Then we just had the people who like Sony and can't stand any other game system. We just had people like Xbox 360 can't stand any other game system. So that's always the case. So that's what I think is it for all.
I know an idea. It's really hard to say. Really, it's hard to say, call an idea new because, like, you know, we're not just saying about Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, and all. There's a lot of other gaming companies. You know, there's also like PC games and all, and like indie games, and even like mobile games and all. But yeah, so it's really hard to call an idea new because you never know. Like, the most obscure game ever could have already used that idea. But I've always kind of wanted to see a game that has, like, an asshole female protagonist. Like, there have been games...
That would be
there
good.
There have been games where you have, you know, strong, powerful female protagonists, you know, like, you know, Metroid and all. And there's also games that had, you know, kind of like, you know, eye candy female protagonists.
Well,
There have been plenty of games where we've had, like, a douchebag male protagonist that you'd be like, oh, this guy is horrible. I kind of want to see more like that from the girl side, because, like, I don't know. I've always kind of rooted for the bad guy in movies and whatnot. And I just love seeing that equality in both genders is showing, like, hey, yo, guys and girls can both be eye candy. They can both be strong and powerful. They can both be total wimps. You know, let's make the idea possible that both of them can be jerky as hell.
Well, Bayonetta kind of fits that, but she has been eye candy a lot. But I think she also is kind of a jerk. If you guys have played Bayonetta,
yeah, I can't really say for myself any games I played because, you know, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I really only play, like, Nintendo-only stuff. Not because, you know, like, oh, I hate Sony, oh, I hate Microsoft, blah, 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 blah. It's just that, you know, I don't really feel like spending money to buy more consoles and all. Even if the games are good, it's just, I don't have that money. So I'd rather just, you know, stick to one company so my wallet can be intact. You know, yeah. I've unfortunately experienced like the other console syndrome where it's like there's a game you really want but it's never on your system. Like, you know, Mortal Kombat, for example. I love Mortal Kombat, but you know, because Nintendo's pushing more and more to, you know, family friendly stuff, you know, there've been a couple Mortal Kombat games on Nintendo systems. Even on the Wii, but like, you know, you know, every new installment gets gorier and gorier, and, you know, I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's really hard to get a Mortal Kombat game on a Nintendo console. There's been M games before, like, you know, the shooters, and No More Heroes, and other stuff like that, but what I'm just trying to say is, though, is, like, I don't know, I want a game with an asshole female protagonist, and it's just, I don't know.
So that ends what our discussion as somebody trying to fix the cabinet in here.
excuse you, I didn't say what I wanted.
Me neither.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hey, SZ.
I got the SZ syndrome. We got the same thing. I said I got the SZ syndrome.
Come on, he didn't do it that bad.
He's done it several times. He's done it to Boo more than once.
I think it's because I've been talking for so long. I should just stop. My throat is hurting.
Me and Star, you thought the same thing. SZ syndrome.
As they're watch, as he's gonna watch and listen to this podcast, and then be in it all in the comments, be like, "Will Spider Spider? Hey! That's not true."
Nobody
love
like
you,
I'm offensive, and I find this SZ.
SC, but he makes like a fake account. And he's like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, we love you,
SC. So
give blow. So what? Oh my god! What? I want to say something, but it's already been an idea that's kind of been used, but not to its full potential. I want to see a rhythm/action hybrid, like, you know, like we've had on Bust the Groove. Who remembers that game? Boo used to make fun of me for liking that game, Rude.
Oh,
oh
Lord,
Rude. The name.
What would you used to call
else?
It? What would you used to call it? Oh, you can't say in the podcast?
Nut.
Oh, okay.
Bust a Nut.
Whoa.
That game, Bust a Groove, it's about basically a dancing game, all right? But it has action where you can actually attack your opponent. And then they had a sequel that had Bust a Groove 2. Then they had Dance Summit where they kind of took out the fighting where you have to pair up to kind of attack your opponents, which actually didn't make sense. That's a whole nother topic and podcast together. But I want to see, it doesn't even have to be Buster Groove. It just could be like any rhythm game, a singing game, whatever, dancing game. But it has to have like an action to it, like where you can attack your opponents, maybe from performing better or something. I don't know, but just something that where you can dance your best or sing your best and then attack your opponent
I think there was a game that was like that. It was called like Rhythm Fighter or something like that. It was that game that was made by Game Freak.
Harmonite, but that's not what he's talking about.
Harmonite. Oh, I know, I'm just saying there was a game where you could fight people with rhythm, and it was Harmonite. There was also that other one that that Ooh La La Girl comes from.
Oh, space Alien or something.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the game title.
Yeah.
Space something.
Oh,
space
wait,
something.
Isn't that girl? Isn't that
Space Channel.
Yeah, space yesterday Space Channel. Because she was in Sonic Riders as an unlockable
yeah,
character.
Like, yeah, that's how I know in that game you're not technically fighting, but you're still dancing and, like, causing damage to people by, you know, you don't actually see, you know, someone like, punch. But, you know, it's kind of like that. But I get what you're trying to say, though. Like, you want a game where you actually, like, see people do, like, Broadway tangos and all, and then, like, kick someone in the face.
Yeah, something like that. Or, like, they throw something at them. Like, that's what Bust a Groove was. That, like, where you can literally, like, the person would grab something and, like, attack the opponent. And, like, they couldn't dance for a while. I want something like that. But maybe something like that will appear in the future. I really hope so, because, you know, dancing has been really big nowadays, but I kind of wish it was just, like, you can dance with, you know, buttons pressing, because I don't like dancing games, like, the Kinect game, where you, it's, like, Dance Central. Sweaty. Because, yeah, I feel sweaty, and also because I can't dance, alright? I can't dance, so I feel kind of embarrassed, like, dancing about, and then, like, having people walk in the room being like, what the heck are you doing? It's just really weird.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to put up about, like, game reviews, is that too many times have you seen, like, the future of Nintendo is doomed, oh, gaming industry is dead, oh, yeah, we want more innovation, you know. A lot of people put so many articles saying that the future of X and the future of whatnot is doomed, and, you know, oh, it's gonna be a rough road for them. I always like to say, you know, even when a game company is in times of hardship, always have high hopes for the future, because you never know when that one really awesome game is going to come out.
And
doesn't Nintendo have a new IP? Or was it
Miyamoto?
Is that the right word?
He said he's working on a new IP. Miyamoto.
Wouldn't that be cool if like that actually happened and like it was a great game? That would be really awesome.
Like, he did that with Pikmin.
Nintendo has to start trying to make new stuff as well, because, like, Pikmin, look at Animal Crossing, that series took off. I think that's it. Wow. Is that really it? They've made tons of games, but, like, it's been, like, really few that have actually been successful series. Mm-hmm. And they still have tons of IPs they don't really use that often, like Metroid.
Yes.
F-Zero.
Well, there is that article about how the Metroid director says he doesn't really want to work on new games anymore.
Loser. Oh, well, get a new director
and make it like Metroid Fusion, please. And please make Samus a strong woman. She's not this, like, little, like, pansy girl. Like, I had no problem with that, but, like, Samus said in Metroid Fusion that, she's a tough woman. She doesn't like taking orders. But in Utter M, she's always taking orders and always being, like, a little sissy girl.
As for me, mine's really simple because it's not so much as a game design. Like, I don't have, like, a rhythm dancing thing. But I've always wanted a game where it's full of Easter eggs and secrets. And, like, it's like, if you guys play the new South Park game, they almost did it. I love how people say, like, they almost did it, they just needed one last push. That's one of those games where they just needed one last push, and I would have loved it. Because I love crazy little games where it's just, like, the most obscure Easter eggs, but if you could play the game normally and still have fun.
South Park, the Stick of Truth, or as I like to call it, Dirty Paper Mario.
It is. Toto, you hit the nail on the head. I want to get that game so badly, but first of all, I can't. Second of all, I don't. The only system I have that supports it is the PS3. And Easter eggs, another thing, when I told somebody about this, they were saying, well, like, what type of Easter eggs? Because they were like, how far would it go? And I would be like, let's say it's, like, in a city, and if you go to the arcade, if they have one, you can actually play an arcade game. I don't know what type, whatever. Or you go to, like, a certain area, and a musical cue will appear, like, not like Totaka's song, but, like, how Totaka's song appears, something like that. I want a game full of secrets, because that's my stuff.
So, I guess that's...
And with that...
The ending. Yeah, they went to whistle. I guess that signals that that's the end of the discussion. I hope y'all enjoyed the discussion. I always say that. I hope y'all enjoyed it.
Let's keep it classy.
Yes. So next is news and community of NPL and Nintendo and all the other good stuff. Since SZ is not here, I'm going to have to do the news. Oh boy, good luck for me. But SZ,
have fun talking about Mario Garf, boo.
Oh yeah, Mario Garf. Garf.
Garf, not golf. Who says golf? That's not what it's called.
So Mario Garf, it released the final courses, and they had new images, and they gave the four new characters, which I think are Birdo, Toad, yay for Toad.
Yes, my boy
Waluigi.
Toad.
Oh, I thought Toad was going to be like my mother.
Oh, it's not, so it's Waluigi, Kamek, Birdo, and Toad.
No, actually, no, it's not Waluigi, it's Birdo, Toad, Kamek, and Paratroopa.
Kamek or Magic Koopa?
I say Kamek.
Kamek. Sorry, that's Kamek.
That's like the but Toad. You know how Toad said, like, in Japan they treat it like Toad as like a race, and we have a Toad that's singular.
Dude, you are so quiet. Basically...
Sorry, I think that like Kamek is a character on its own, and Magic Koopa is a race, an enemy race, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it is, like because you can tell the difference between Kamek and Magic Koopa, because Magic Koopa, I think, I don't remember which order it is, but one of them has their hat is pointed up, and then the other is all floppy. I think it's Kamek that has the floppy hat.
Kamek's hat is floppy.
And also, floppy. I think usually most of the time he's like a darker blue robe. He's like kind of bigger than the other ones.
If you're colorblind, you'll probably think it's dark green.
Boo, continue the news.
Boo, do you think Soul, do you think it's dark green?
No, I think that was that indirect shade towards me because I'm.
That was no shade towards you. I'm saying if you're colorblind, if you were.
Oh, okay.
It's a conditional, but we had the final courses, and we have some images, and we have the last four characters for Mario Garth.
I can't believe it took them this long to put Toad in a Garth game.
Yeah,
he should have been there. I was saying this before we started the podcast, that like because like Toad doesn't even feel like an unlockable character because you never unlock Toad. It's Toad. He's always like a. You know, you learn from Mario Kart and Mario Baseball, any Mario sports game, Toad's always there from the start. You don't unlock Toad unless if it's like Double Dash or something like that, and that's really only because he was paired with Toadette, and you'd unlock characters together, so, you know, they couldn't give out the secret character immediately, but you never unlock Toad. It's just, it doesn't feel right, and, you know, usually the unlockable guy would be, like, the new guys. Like, you know, Paratroopa, Magic Koopa, I can see, but someone like Toad, who's been there from, like, the very start, well, not the very start, but you know what I mean, the very close to the very start, it doesn't feel right, like, Toad should have been there from the beginning.
And Birdo, but I never heard of unlocking Birdo. Only time I heard of unlocking Birdo was Mario Party 7.
Mario Party Wii.
We with Matt Party 7. That's the only time. So onwards with the next news, we have so many games for Nintendo eShop. So I'm gonna just list them all. It's for the Nintendo 3DS, of course, and Wii U. In North America, I don't know about the other places. I'm so sorry. I don't know about y'all, but the article which VIP posted doesn't say anything about Europe and Japan. So we have three games. We have one for $4.99. I'm going to give you the prices because good thing you put the prices because I'm cheap. So Super Mario Bros. 3 is $4.99 in the eShop. We have F-Zero Maximum Velocity, which is $6.99. I got to search up that game. I never heard of it.
It's a GBA game.
Oh, that game!
I believe
it's that. Never mind.
I love that game.
If it's that game, then I know what it is. And we have Golden Sun, which is $7.99. And we have so many other games that come. And we have so many other games that are coming for the eShop. Yes, indeed. Next bit of news is mostly like little commercial news. We have new Wii remotes, which are kind of, you're like, because the Wii going out of business. But we have new Wii remotes. We have one which look like, it's basically an emblem. It's an emblem of characters, and it's just with the respective colors, where Peach is light pink and dark pink, Luigi is green and blue, and Mario is red and blue. So that's basically, and with their motifs, insignias, whatever you want to call it, in the middle where the speakers are. That's all it is. Mm. And they're $39.99. Oh, Jesus.
Wait, how much is a normal Wii Remote?
I think $39.99 as well.
I never remember a Wii Remote being that much. I don't know. Last time I bought a Wii Remote was like three years ago when Joe, just so I could have like two-player access, but I don't remember them being that much. I always thought they were like $20 or $30. I don't know.
Mine was $34.99.
This should not be $40. They're just Peach's dress on a Wii Remote.
Exactly.
Peach's Wii Remote.
Oh my god.
Peach's Wiener.
I knew it was coming.
I know.
In the next, this is going to be the last for me. The next bit of news is Mario Kart 8. We have a character selection screen reveal. I'm already pissed off at the screen, as I don't see Dry Bones or Boo, so I'm kind of pissed off. So, they showed the character, well, somebody took a picture of it. Who knows if that's fine? That may be the final, because good lord, we're right at the end. So that's the probably the final with three unlockable characters. We have so many Koopalings, whatever they are, Koopalings, whatever.
The Cuckoos.
We have so many of them. It's aggravating. We have, like, let me count. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, seven. We have seven.
There's seven Koopalings, Boo. You had to count them.
Yeah, I really did.
No, and there's probably going to be Bowser Jr. or Bowser. At
yes,
least.
I love Bowser Jr. That's
and dry. I hope Dry Bowser's not in here.
I want dry Bones. Bones.
So my thing is that I'm kind of mad. I'm not kind of mad at the character roster, but we have substitutes. Well, not substitutes. We had the originals. We have Toadette in it, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
We have Toadette, Shy Guy. I'm happy. So, I really don't mind with them because I'm happy. I could choose one of them.
You remember, guys, though, that in some Mario Kart games, like Mario Kart Wii, the roster would get bigger and bigger the more characters you unlocked. Like, so in the start, you would only have about, like, a small amount of squares with a few question marks.
I think
and
16.
And then it'd get bigger and bigger and more question marks would open up. So, while that looks pretty much like a final roster, since 30 is a lot of characters... But, you know, you never know. There could be, like, one extra row or something
now,
like that.
My problem is, it doesn't seem like a lot of characters because all of it is taken up by the Koopalings. Like, it doesn't seem like a
exactly.
lot of characters because there's so many Koopalings.
Yes. Yeah, you kind of classify
then we got
the
Koopalings
as into one character because they're just usually presented as a group. Like, you know.
Because nobody likes them.
When you talk about the Koopalings, you never say, yo, Larry, Iggy, Lemmy. You never say them in order and like that. You just call them Koopalings.
And then we have all the freaking babies. Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Baby Peach, Baby Daisy.
Baby Daisy.
And there better not be no... There better not be no baby Wario and baby Waluigi. I'll be pissed.
Oh, baby Waluigi, Rosalina. Please. Waluigi's already bones, Boo.
Exactly.
All right, how skinnier can he get?
Imagine how that... Wait, no, be crazy. Imagine a baby Toad. How small would he be?
He'd be like the, you know when you... Like, there's Super Mario and regular Mario, like, if you get hit by an enemy. Toad, when he gets hit by an enemy, gets a little small. I'd imagine he'd look like that.
No, like, no, Baby Toad is just a mushroom. It's just, like, a real mushroom wearing a diaper. That's Baby. No, Baby Toad, like, you play as, like, a little microscope, and when you zoom in, it's just, like, a little spore wearing a diaper. That's Baby Toad.
Oh goodness, because if Waluigi's already skinny as hell, there's a baby Waluigi, goodness, he's gonna leave the there won't be a feather weight class, there'll be a Timmy weight class.
Oh,
promoting anorexia.
Yeah, but Waluigi's always had that giant head.
Unrealistic expectations for a thigh gap come from Waluigi.
And we're like, what's a Timmy weight class?
Oh my god, you're so mean.
I'm not being mean.
You're seriously making me want to start calling Timmy Waluigi.
Oh my god, you guys.
So,
that would be because Waluigi's ugly. I'll only be calling him for the skinny part, but he might think I'm calling him
shade.
Ugly or something.
Baby
call
Waluigi
skinny,
would
skinny.
Be a stick with a head. He'd be a
skinny
stick
mini.
With a head, Waluigi. Skinny
oh,
mini.
Oh lord.
Skinny, skinny, tubby, tubby.
I'm done with you.
So
skinny mini, chubby, tubby.
That is the end of the news. Community.
Timmy, I love you. I have to say I love you to SCN, Timmy.
Oh, God.
So next, we have polling questions.
Mailbag?
Oh, yes, polling questions. Mailbag. They both the same thing.
Questions from the audience.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
polling questions from the mailbag.
There we go.
Yeah, it's the personal Q&As. Personal Q&As. So, this is the segment that I'm not used to.
You want me to do it?
It's been a while. Oh, I think I can do it.
Oh, okay. Keep at it.
I believe in you, Boo.
So, first one... The first question is for me. Oh, crap.
Oh, Lord.
It says... It's from C-Slug and Wagashi. So he gave me a question. Okay, now. It said, hey, Dark Boo, why is your YouTube account name a bunch of random numbers and not Dark Boo? Okay, I'm not going to lie. The numbers are not random. They weren't my phone number.
The numbers were my
phone
number.
Old phone number,
yes,
mind you.
516-974-3494. And I can remember
it
perfectly,
was.
Too.
Why?
Yes, it was. And I get a lot of comments on YouTube talking about, did anybody prank call you? I'm like, it's not my number no more. But what had happened, let me give you the story, the little story in quick this way. So
What happened was,
I made a YouTube account, and then what had happened was, I forgot my email. No, I deleted the email, because I didn't use the email address no more, so I deleted it, and I forgot the password. I usually think my password is which only Spider Star you know, because it's his name.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Oh my god.
So it wasn't So I was like, what's the password? Then after, I'm like, forget it, I'll make a new YouTube account. Then after, I just wanted to make an account quickly, so I put my phone number as the username. as the username, my password was Peter. My password was Peter. Really short, Peter. So it worked. I was like, okay, I'm like, I'm gonna change it soon. I never got a chance to change it. So I just left it as 516-974-3494. Yes, it was Peter. My password was Peter, for Peter Griffin, not Soul in the first name.
Oh, yeah, Soul's Peter first Griffin.
That was really awkward. I was like...
You know, surprisingly, Dark Boo's username is not the most ridiculous username I've seen on YouTube. There was one, and I mean ridiculous in a sense, like, how do you remember that? I mean, I can't even remember my own phone number, but, there was one, I saw, when I was looking at, like, you know, YouTube videos a few months ago, I remember seeing this one counter whose username was, like, literally, like, 36 A's, and it's like, how do you remember how many A's that is? Like, I know usually there's, like, cookies like, and all, me. You know, so when you start putting something, it automatically gives you that drop-down menu, but, like, you know, still, you know, your name... There are a couple times where I've seen people who have used the names, like, just, like, you know, someone, like, mashing their... Someone letting their catwalk on their computer, like, name of, like, an Icelandic volcano or something like that. Like, how do you remember that?
Like...
So that's what happened. That's what happened for me. I always said I was going to change it, but I never did. I never changed it. And then after, I was like, y'all going to have to get used to this. So I'm not going to change it. It's going to sound ridiculous. I have my I have it as a Dark Boo page, but you could search Dark Boo, but you still got, because there's so many Dark Boo. So you got to search 516-974-3494 with Dark Boo tag.
Or you could just search Dark Boo and Lotto, and probably Boo will pop up. Let me see.
Yeah,
Dark Boo and Lotto. Okay, oops, you do. Oh, yeah, Boo, you pop up. You just search Dark Boo and Lotto.
I have a lot of scratchos videos.
He has a lot of scratchos.
Oh,
that's horrible.
Oh, dear Lord,
Boo has tons of rants on his channel. Did you guys ever see the freaking July 4th rants?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I was dying.
Oh, that... I was pissed off the first 4 days of July. I was mad. The first, I was mad. The second, I was madder. The third, I was maddest. The fourth, I blew up.
You know what's the most funny
like
thing about that video, guys? The funniest thing about it is while Boo was talking,
fireworks
were going off at the background.
And I jumped for the first one. The first one, I jumped. You don't know how loud that firework was.
It was loud.
It was like the whole apartment was shaking. It wasn't like a little firework. It was like they had a cannon and just lit off the cannon. And the cannon, you
fireworks
just
cannon from Brawl.
You want to know how loud the fireworks here are? For the audience, whenever the Cyclones win a baseball game, sometimes they'll shoot off fireworks at Coney Island. I can hear those fireworks from my house. I live at least like 10 or 11 stops away on the train from Coney Island. I live a couple ways away from Coney Island. I can hear the fireworks from there, from my house. Like, I mean, granted, I can just hear them as little poof, poof in the distance, but still, you gotta imagine, like, if I can hear them from that far away.
Imagine how close. I'm close to the firework. The firework is right out my door.
I actually have been to a baseball game there before, and I've seen the fireworks. They are kind of loud, but not, like, ear-splittingly loud. Just, like, you know, first couple ones might make you go, ha!
Fireworks are illegal in my state.
I don't...
Yeah, but people just buy them in South Carolina. Because I literally live 20 minutes away from South Carolina, so people just buy them from there and then bring them over here and light them.
That's
illegal.
That's safe, though.
It's illegal to buy fireworks.
Arrest Soul, he does fireworks. Arrest Soul, he does fireworks. Arrest Soul, he does fireworks.
Actually, no, I have a fear of lighting.
Soul is a drug mule for fireworks. They put them up his butt and then send them back.
Oh my god.
sometimes they actually accidentally go up when he's trying to get them out.
Oh
so
my god. I have a fear of lighting fireworks, so I would never do anything. I don't like
yeah,
anything.
I see what you want to do to Aaron Ryan. You probably wouldn't mind sticking a firework up your butt.
Oh my dear lord.
When we meet Soul, we're gonna like bring a firework there and we're gonna make Soul light it. That's what we're gonna do.
What?
Oh my god. No, I have a really big fear of fireworks.
Yeah,
I'm afraid I'm
gonna
burn
get those
someone's
fireworks.
Head.
Just like I'm gonna buy Boo a bunch of balloons.
I don't know what you can buy for me because all of my fears are just like average fears. Like I guess you could buy me like I don't know like a container of flies.
Yeah, Toadette's really scared of flies.
I'm not afraid of like flies themselves, but the noise they make.
Like, I hate. Oh my god, I hate
because they always bunch fly. They come. Always fly by my ear, so it's like that little. And it's like even when they're like the little tiny ass fruit flies, it sounds like a freaking jet going off right next to me, and I'm really sensitive to loud sounds, so I get really scared, and well, more like startled than anything else. But I really don't like it. Like. It bothered me so much last year that my mom just, like, got me a Vetus flytrap for Christmas.
Oh, really? Like, is it still live?
I have to grow it. I'm waiting until, like, you know, the weather is actually, like, permanently nice. Like, we had that nice little half week of spring, but now it's all gone. So I guess I have to wait until it's... Besides, the flies aren't exactly out yet. They usually wait until it's, like... hot and humid, and, you know, the garbage starts stinking and whatnot, all that gross, when the gross heat kicks in.
Interesting fact about Venus flytraps, they're native to North Carolina only, so interesting tie back to me, because I had nothing to participate in this conversation.
Illuminati.
Oh, so, oh, God, Chris, no,
stop
Jesus.
Putting fireworks in your butt. Let's continue.
You're the one who does that.
It's doing the butt fireworks.
I've never done no fireworks. I'm almost deadly afraid from lighting a firework. I can watch other people, but like
nobody said they had to light the fireworks in your butt. You just hide them in there.
Why?
Cause they're not. You have to smuggle them in.
I'm not gonna smuggle no. I ain't going to do that. I'm gonna get arrested.
You're
gonna
get your
arrested.
Ass arrested. Just your butt. Like they're gonna put handcuffs on your butt and take it away. They're just gonna chop
I just imagine
it off
me
and take
like,
it to jail.
I just imagine them like drilling a hole in like the jail cell and I just stake my butt in there and I'm just sitting
just
there,
sit in there
in the jail
with your
cell.
Ass inside of there.
Yeah, so you don't wanna go to prison, you'll be a princess in there.
This is definitely one of the weirdest conversations we've had on the podcast.
Dear Lord.
Oh, let's go to the next question.
Now it's time to move on.
What's that for everyone by Boo 3 Dark Boo? Oh, he got from there. Yes, already.
He's a fan.
What's. Yes.
Yeah, that guy. We answered some questions from that guy last podcast, and it's like, oh, yeah. Dark Boo.
Yay. Yes.
Was he the one who hated Toadette?
No.
Not you,
no,
Toadette.
That's the game guy.
Oh.
Sorry, game guy. Sorry, mentioning your name. Sorry.
Shout out to.
Shout out to Paul.
What's the Mario Kart 8 track are you most excited to play? Should I answer it first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to play Sunshine Airport. That one looks so cool. And the fact, yeah, it's a lot of flying, but I it looks cool. To me, it looks cool. What's another track? That Rainbow Road, yes.
Ooh.
I gotta play the Rainbow Road. I gotta play that one, yes. That bring back memories.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I think those are the only two tracks I'm interested for. Yeah, them the only two. Well, all of my interests, because it's new. All of it I like. But them the two that I really want to play.
As for me, I really want to play Sweet Sweet Canyon, because everybody knows I love candy. Candy is my thing, especially candy-themed things. Sunshine Airport's a real... I really want to play that one. And I also want to play Cloudtop Cruise. Even though I've seen the entire course, I think it's such a cool course. Oh, I want to play that one.
I really want to play Electrodome.
Yes!
That course looks so... The lights are so juicy and bodacious and so ostentatious as well. I just gotta be around all those lights. And Sweet Sweet Canyon looks cool. Sunshine Airport looks cool. They all look cool. Even the retro stages. Don't get me started on the retro stages. I can go on and on forever about that. Royal Raceway, N64 Rainbow Road. Oh my gosh. Too many great courses in this Mario Kart game. Too many great courses.
Toll's Turnpike.
That's Tourette's answer.
Did Boo already say? Oh, yeah. I got confused. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Sunshine Airport and Cloudtop Cruise, mostly, like, because of, like, the Dark Thundercloud part. I also like, whatever that level was with, like, the Toad Viking ships and, like, the bone sculptures. It's like Dry Canyon or something like that.
It's called Bone Dry Dunes.
Bone Dry Dunes. Okay, yeah, that one looks pretty interesting. They all look good. I still kind of want a Toadette course, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. All the courses look good, and, you know, Toadette herself is in there, so, you know, what could get even better than that? Having sweet, sweet Toadette return to me once more.
So that's all our favorite, the track that would not, well, we can say it's our favorite, but that's the track that we most excited for, too. And last not least, a personal question to Toadette. From C Slug and Wagashi yet again. It states, hey Toadette, if you were forced to choose between me and Toadette, the Toad, Toad and Ryan and Warheart, like all of them at the same time, and being the richest person on Earth, which would you choose?
Meeting the gang, like I wouldn't mind if I was like the poorest bum on the planet. I would love to meet all four of them. And
what if you?
I mean,
what if with all that money you could like somehow make them in real life?
Well, I don't know if I can say that because we're not sure if we have that technology yet. Like it would, because I'm not really like that much of a scientist, so I wouldn't really know how to make that technology. But you know, if I had, you know, not counting like stuff like oh, you could make the technology to make them real and stuff like that. I would definitely want to meet them, and I would do things. Fun things.
Uh-oh.
Like, you know, going to the park and watching a movie or something like that.
Yeah, and fun play. Things.
Don't you love to play?
I love those guys, and I've drawn some Maybe. Images I'm not very proud of, but
oh, no.
I love
them. Yeah,
I love...
It's time to admit it. Toadette, you gotta admit it. Toadette drew...
No!
Basically drew images of the characters playing golf. And it was really... It was not appropriate.
Toadette, you should play the music. You play the music.
No! No! No!
That's my show, though! I love that show, though! That's my show! I love her!
No, we are not talking about this.
But I'm sorry, that the song Toadette used is from a show that I love. I love that anime. Cause that's my girl when she get it in. But
mention it, or else they'll know what Toadette did.
But that's all our mailbag questions. We thank you. Thank you for all the questions, although me and Toadette got the personal ones and Soul and
submit
some
mailbag questions.
Yeah, come on guys, give Soul and Star you some more questions. I mean, I love getting
questions. Ez had no questions.
We don't like Ez.
Oh, Ez, if Ez was giving questions, they would be really bad questions.
Ez is water-flavored ice cream. He bland.
Ooh,
wasn't that,
shade.
No,
I felt that
so
like,
Dark Boo, do you like chips?
Oh my god.
That question was so redundant. I'm sorry. But that's what I mail back.
Dark Boo, do you like water?
Dark Boo, do you breathe air?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, Dark Boo. Do you like to live?
Dark Boo, are you black?
I'd be like, you can't notice. You don't hear all this loudness. This is loudness. You can't say.
Dark Boo, are you a boy or a girl?
that question.
You know, I would actually want someone to ask that question only if their username was Professor Oak.
Oh, God. I would die.
Also, guys, fun fact. Here's a fun fact for the podcast so you remember in the future. Soul originally thought Boo was a girl.
Oh, my God, no.
He thought of it for a long time, too.
You know what, Star, you... Before I realized that it was you from the YouTube, from our YouTube days, before I found that out, I thought you were a girl.
Silence.
Because I never heard your voice by then. This was before I was on the podcast when I was just a user. And,
oh, my old YouTube.
No, not on YouTube. When I was in my early NPL days.
Oh, Spider-Man.
I thought you... I don't know. I thought you were a woman. I don't know why.
Maybe I just give off that vibe. I don't know.
He's juicy
you
like
are
that.
A very pretty woman.
So with that, we have already... So we know some famous things now.
This podcast is going to be a legendary podcast. Because we're just... You see, this is the reason why SC tries to go on the podcast so much. Because without SC, we get crazy. See how much we're misbehaving?
SC is the order amidst the chaos.
Fireworks up people's butt. SC is not around.
Talking about my disappointing images...
We're gonna ask SC about all the stuff we talked about on this podcast.
Oh my God.
Yes, fireworks. But for now, we have to end the podcast with the ending information. So yes, you can subscribe to us and rate us on iTunes. You can check us out, Mad Party Lexi, and the Lost Levels at madpartylexi.com and forum. Don't forget our forum. The only thing you gotta do is write, and you gotta make that right slash inform. Because people don't know how to get to the forum, so I don't know. You can check the forum as well at message boards at madpartylexi.com/forum, which is stay here again. Yes, some people don't know how to get to the forum.
I'm not lying,
because some people really don't.
There's also a button on the top left that says forum.
So there should be no reason. So there should be no reason y'all can't get on this forum. Yes, indeed.
Get your asses over here.
Well, some people are not watching on the forum. They're watching through iTunes. So maybe that's actually a good thing you said that.
MarioPuddyLegacy.com/forum.
Yes, right slash, not back, front.
Front, back, left, right, up, down.
Oh, dear Lord.
You can find me on YouTube.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start.
B, A, B, A, start, select.
Oh, please.
So you can find me on YouTube, 516-974-3494, and that's pretty much it for me.
You can follow me everywhere across the United States, Canada, Mexico, Britain, Japan,
Mars.
China, all sorts of countries. My Twitter at SpiderStarU. I'm SpiderStarU everywhere on YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, and Nintendo Network. So please follow me wherever you go, and your days will automatically be enchanted with sunny rays. Ooh, that rhymed! Yes!
Oh, dear Lord.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
As for me, I'm at AbsolPowers on Twitter, absolpowers.blogspot.com for my blog, and my YouTube channel, AbsolPowers.
Toadette was before you. You skipped her.
No.
She didn't say it.
No, I was just gonna go in the order of what we were talking. Anyways, you can follow me on Tumblr at unofficialofficialtoadette, and you can follow me on Nintendo Network at Toadette Wii U, and not Wii as in like the Wii console, but Wii as W-E-E. So Toadette Wii U. Toadette W-E-E. You. Toadette
Wii U. What is this,
you.
Your Tumblr?
That's not my Tumblr. That's my Nintendo Network.
Ah.
My Tumblr, unofficial official Toadette. I'm Toadette, but the unofficial Toadette. That's official.
The more you know.
And that's the end of podcast 111. We hope to see y'all again, yes indeed. And I won't host. So, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
I do not sneak in fireworks illegally.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra, yes.
I drew porn. Oh my god. I drew porn. I drew porn.
Goodbye.
I'm not proud of myself. Put me in jail.